Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch body plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, we are Spanish Aquí present.
Wow.
You got Tony, you got Oscar, you got me, Raisa. Y tú sabes que Carlito no está otra vez because he's shooting a reboot for
Hogan's Family.
These references, Tony.
I honestly thought Tony would use Hogan's
What the fuck is Hogan's
reality
Family?
Show.
No, I'm not even talking about that. Hogan's Family was what was the Valerie Harper show until Valerie Harper was fired and they brought in Sandy Duncan.
Wow. Why was Valerie Harper fired?
Apparently they had they fought a lot. I guess there was like conflict between her and the producers. Okay. It's real. And the way they just killed her off in the show. It was like the house burned down and they killed her off. New season. She's gone.
Yo,
like mom's gone. Sandy Duncan's here.
Isn't that crazy how they just do that in shows back in the day?
Yeah, they would do it. Yeah.
Now they get heat because of social media.
Yeah.
But like,
before
you couldn't do that shit. I mean, sorry, before that you could do that shit, nobody fucking cared because like, that's it. Bye bye. Yeah. What happened to that person? Who knows? Unless you know how to Google or look up, you know, Ask Jeeves. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ask Jeeves.
Do you remember Ask Jeeves that I just
y'all digging up some? Y'all are pop culture archaeologists up in here today.
Ask Jeeves makes me think of Mr. Belvedere.
Oh, there we go. And I rest my case. The court rests.
Okay. How is everybody doing?
Good. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Yeah.
Anything new?
Oh, my God. No, I wish I could say yes, but no.
I have something new.
Oh, tell us, darling.
I'm going out in the world more and seeing people and things.
Mm-hmm.
And this past weekend went to a screening of my friend Kimmy Gatewood directed a Netflix movie starring Eliza Schlesinger and Margaret Cho. It is currently number 3 on Netflix.
It's so good.
Female directed comedy.
So good. I got to watch it before it came out. Couldn't talk about it then. Now I can. And I honestly didn't really know that much about her. And like, it's such a good movie that even though, it's like that, there is like, a movie plot that's crazy about it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, there are those type of people.
Yeah.
Like,
it's based, inspired by a true story from Eliza's dating life.
Do you know the movie?
Rom-con.
It's a rom-con. Do you know the movie, Oscar, that we're talking about?
I don't even know what the name of the movie is.
It's called Good on Paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Good on paper. Yeah,
I got really excited because I watched it and when I saw Tony, because Tony, like you and Tony don't like to tell me things like when you're on something or you don't post it. And it's kind of rude because I want to know everything and anything you're on and doing so I can promote and share and get excited. But it's fine. It was a fun little surprise watching it before it came out. I was like, oh, my God, Tony. Oh, my God, Jess. Oh, my God, my friends. And Kimia's on it, too.
Yeah, Kimia.
And Margaret Cho. I love her.
She's so good.
Love her.
I love her too. She's fantastic. What I was going to say was that the screening, seeing all these people coming out of this pandy times, seeing people, I would feel myself tired after engaging with people in real life. But increasingly, I'm more and feel enriched by it. Like I lean into it more. I want to see people more in real life. And this Zoom experience is draining me more and more and more. I love you guys. I love seeing you guys, but I cannot wait to be in the studio because I'm like fighting lethargy with Zooms. There was a transition point when we were like doing everything virtually.
Yeah.
And then now that we're creeping back into society, I find this virtual stuff more draining than real life. I mean, I guess we're animals, right? We're wired to be, we're social animals. I mean, some of us are wired differently. We've talked about
I don't know. Some of us like to be inside all the time.
Do you prefer the virtual?
No, I don't. No.
Like if you
No.
Okay. You'd rather us be in a studio together right now.
Yes.
Than
yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Same. Yeah, yeah, because same. Like I live on the internet now. Like Zoom is all I do. It's like hours on hours on hours just sitting down doing this stuff. It's a little like, not only do you like feel like you haven't done anything in terms of body movement at all, but then it's like, it's sort of cheating because you're like, okay, well, I'm on like, I don't know, like I'm, as you well know, listeners and the people here, I am a aggressive introvert. And like, it's this weird thing that's happening in my brain where it's like, I still have to interact with people, which is a challenge for an introvert, but also being inside. So like my inside place, which is my sanctuary, which as an introvert is like, oh my God, this is where I charge my batteries. This is like my church, my home, where I can hide in my shell, has now become my outside place too. It is like, to call it a mindfuck is like simplifying it in its basic terms. So if I'm going to have to do some interacting, I would much rather do it in public outside so I can have my inside place just be a place where I can be by myself.
I see.
And that's been happening all year. It's been tough. It's been a tough year for introverts, I think, especially introverts that have to be extroverts on
stuff
on Zoom and online
to
and
pay
stuff
the bills.
Like that.
Yeah,
to pay the bills. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I have like my days where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. I have like, I look at my planner because you guys know I write everything in my little like planner, my hija de tu madre.
Your planner. Jefa planner?
Yeah, yes, yes, yeah. It's from our girl Patty. But I'm like, I'll see it. Like, I'll like, I always look at my calendar like the night before I go to, like, before I go to sleep, like, okay, like, what time is my Pilates? Okay, what time is, you know, what's the next thing? Do I have a writer's meeting? Whatever it is, you know, like, do I have any deadlines? And I look, and then I look at my phone alarms too, because I have like a bunch of alarms to remind me, like, take this pill or whatever it is, like, that I need to do. And I'm just like, the other day I had so many errands. Like, it was I think it was last week. I think
did
it was,
you schedule your errands?
I try to, like, I like, will be, like, I'll try to put in certain,
I mean.
Yes, like, grocery shopping. I'm like, okay, well, where do I have space to do this week? Because for me, going to do groceries is a real task. Like, because I have, like, I like need Adderall. like, I'm just so like attention. Like, I can't, I have ADHD and it's like, I need to like focus when I'm doing these things. And it takes me like time to prepare. And I like, look, I just got an Apple Watch for my birthday. And I like, it tells you like, you're like, your activity, your movement, your whatever and stuff like that. And how many times you should be standing a day, like crazy shit like that. Where like, again, we've been so like lethargic during the pandemic. So point is that I looked at my thing and I did like 5 errands and I had so much movement. So like, it's like what we were talking about earlier was like how like starting to like go out and all this stuff is like a little overwhelming. So that was interesting though, to see like with the errands and be like, oh yeah, like I've been nonstop all the time. And this was like one of the first days that I was able to be nonstop. But in the middle of talking about this, Carlitos texted and he was able to jump on the thread. So here he is,
Carlitos. And I have a Fitbit.
Oh, and you have a Fitbit, mira. Oh. Okay. Okay. All right, pues. Mira, just in time for the pica, which you know, we usually just like pick what a pica is. Sometimes we like to surprise each other, but this one is a pica that I have been requested by many people.
Okay.
Like
I'm nervous.
I've had so I'm on like a few girl threads, like on Instagram.
This is not gonna fare well for anything.
Buckle up.
This is not gonna fare well for me, I feel like.
This is just a confrontation.
Yes.
This isn't
an intermission.
Intermission. No, what do you call it?
Intervention.
Intervention, bro. None of us know words. Here we go. Okay. Okay, pues. So I don't remember even how the conversation started, but I was on a thread with girls and we were talking. I think one of them like asked like about a circumcised dick or non circumcised. And so I honestly think that this is like a conversation that people have been having for many years.
Have they?
And
how long?
I think I've heard centuries.
But I have not been along for a lot alive for centuries. Okay, motherfuckers. So like, I've only recently
before
heard
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So let me just say the
right
pika.
Now.
Let me just say it, and here we go. Oh my god, I wish that this was videotaped because I want all the fans to know and the listeners to know that fucking all the boys right now are like laughing. They're touching themselves. They're moving back. They're breathing hard. They're so anxious. And I am so strong and powerful in this pika right now. I'm so excited. Jordan just replied, "This period is period amazing." And she's not wrong. She's not wrong, guys. Okay, so here we go. Circumcised penises versus uncircumcised penises. There's a lot of questions that I have. Okay. And a lot of questions that the females also had. So okay. I want to
This is for the ladies. This is a very ladies episode today.
I do not think it's only for ladies because Oscar and Tony, do you guys not see penises?
Not just ladies.
Yes, I see
not just
penises.
Not just your penis. Other penises.
I don't know what that is.
Do you touch them? Do you put them in your mouth? Do you put them in
what
other holes?
Okay,
yes, well, ladies, you know. I see okay. penises and okay. I put them in my
okay.
mouth.
Okay, mira. So
that's for the lady.
I'm a simple man. I see a penis, I put it in my mouth.
Simple as that.
Okay, so first crazy. Off, shout out to all the girl threads that inspired this. And also, I brought this up at our, we all know him, love him, Thomas Ochoa's birthday party last Saturday. And like, I knew almost nobody at that party except for like maybe like four or five people from UCB. And I brought it up. And honestly, like, it was such an intense, wild conversation to have. And they were like, please let us know when this episode comes out.
Intense, wild conversation.
So you have preemptively, you've crowdsourced this.
Yeah, because I need to inquire monthly to know what went down at that party.
Well, because they were asking me what are topics that we've had and what are topics that I might have in the future. And I was like, well, actually, there's one that I've been trying to do, but it's been hard because everybody's been like filming and whatever.
You,
so like, but I want to have...
It.
Mm. I wanted to have, yeah, I was like, and they were on, then I had like, you know, people that were Jewish there as well, people that were non-Jewish, people that are Latinx, some that are not, you know what I mean? So like, it's like, it was very interesting to like, everybody has a different perspective on this. And it was cool to hear. So really quick, before I start, I just want to read if you Google circumcised versus non-circumcised or just non, it says an uncircumcised penis retains the foreskin, which covers the head of a non-erect penis. When the penis is erect, the foreskin pulls back to reveal the gland. A circumcised penis has no foreskin, which exposes the glands when the penis is both erect.
Never in a million years did I think I'd be having this conversation.
For bonus points, do you know what it's called in Spanish?
The foreskin?
The foreskin in Spanish for bonus points.
That's right. Ooh.
I feel like I do, but just say it.
Anybody?
Just say
what,
it.
What?
Oh. Prepucio.
No, that's
not. I know.
What the
prepucio.
Prepucio.
And that's our Spanish word of the day.
That was harder than I thought it would be.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, work that into your conversation next time you have a chance.
Imagínate on a date y tú, prepucito, okay?
Tú que eres niño, tú tienes prepucio.
Mira, me voy a casar, me prepucio matrimonio.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Dad's back.
Okay. But back on the topic. So,
back on that.
Yes. Back on that tip. Hot tip. No pun intended. So listen, I've been in many conversations, mostly with females. I have had this conversation different, like with, or it's come up with different situations with my like queer friends or even like my like lesbian friends that are like, they're all like, ew, no, I hate penises. What, you know what I mean? They're like, ugly, whatever. I'm like, cool. Like, everybody can just like whatever they want. I don't care. But it's very interesting because I know like a lot of like women that don't really even know what it looks like is what I have found out. And they're like in their mid-20s, later 20s or 30s. And they like kind of like, I'm like, have you like, I don't know, like they don't know, like they have no answer whether they've fuck someone with one or without one sometimes.
And they don't have
it in the dark. It's just like in the cover of night goes in and out and nobody sees
sure,
it.
Sure, but I'm like, I think
a hooded figure shows up in the middle of the night.
Exactly. But I'm like, out. But again, but okay, God. To be fair though, this age group that I'm talking about, they're still not the age group that is actually learning about sex in high school. And they're probably like not all people that their parents are talking. I think the younger generational parents are talking to their kids about this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, there is a generational gap within this. There's a different, like
So what you're saying is that millennials, for the most part, have less experience with penis information as much as maybe Gen Zers?
I think Gen Zers are going to have more penis information.
They're going to know about dicks a lot.
Okay. Yeah. So
Wait, I'm sorry. And why is that?
Because the parents.
Yeah, the younger parents are being real and like talking about it.
Foreskin.
Yes. Okay. So,
Carlos,
first question. First question. Everybody, even I'll answer. Are you circumcised or uncircumcised?
Oh, rise to how brave. Okay, please answer first.
Are we really going like this?
Yeah.
Yes. The world needs to know this stuff.
Yep.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What a leader. Uncircumcised.
You're what? You're circumcised?
I'm uncircumcised.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
She's got the layers.
Yeah. That's surprising.
Okay, anybody else?
Tony, go ahead.
Take sure, I'm cut.
Okay.
From this episode.
Honestly, this
it feels way more aggressive.
I don't know if I can handle all this.
I thought I was going to have an issue, but it's Oscar that's clearly struggling.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what I'll say.
I didn't think you were going to answer.
Well, first of all, that is crazy. This is a very personal.
Let's focus on Oscar's penis.
You didn't think I was going to answer?
I didn't think any. I thought you were all going to tell me no.
Why? There's nothing.
I had no choice.
Go ahead. Oscar was going to say something.
Well, what I was going to say is that there are so. First of all, this is a loaded pika. I got to say, number one. Number two.
Is it?
Yeah. I'd say. Anyway, for me. Number two, I think it's so crazy because we're talking about. These are Americans, I assume, that have never seen.
But they're different. They're different. They're different.
These are Westerners.
Are these white people you talking to? Who are you talking to?
Okay, here's the thing. Like, I'm telling you, like, I've talked to 20-year-olds, and like, they're a little bit, like, you know, they're new to fucking and stuff, and they don't, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I didn't know what a circumcised penis was for, like, until I was in my 20s. I was like. I don't know. To me, they all look the same.
You didn't know what a circumcised penis looked like.
Listen, when I was by the age of 25, I had only been with two boys in my life.
Wait, Carlos, what does that mean?
Well, that means that she would hear the words of, like, she would know, like, if it's in the house.
Prepucio, what's the word?
They weren't saying prepucio or circumcised. Nobody was talking about their uncircumcised or circumcised. I don't know what my brothers are. Like, I don't ask. I don't know. Like, I've never talked about this.
I didn't know this was such a taboo subject. I didn't know you guys.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because that's exactly why I wanted to bring it up.
Why is it a taboo?
Because there's a lot of shame on
people. In being uncut.
That's what I was going to say. Which was very interesting.
To use Tony's aggressive terms.
Yeah.
Yes. But no, but that's real. But that's exactly why I wanted to bring it up, because I have made this comment in the multiple times that I have. Because like some girls will be like, ew, no. And I'm like, honestly, like, I think that's such an aggressive, like, disregard to, like, want, like, you know, like, people, like,
I got an opinion about it.
You know, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a penis, but I see penises, right? I've seen them. I don't know.
No, Carlos,
Before I say what I'm going to say.
No, you can't say I have an opinion about it and not
because I need to know first what's your current phallus situation.
Excuse me, what?
Your phallus situation.
This is so odd. I'm not going to divulge.
I need to know because I don't want to speak for you if you're uncut. That's why I'm about to say an opinion.
So I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Listen, this is a deposition. Are you or are you not hooded?
I don't want to talk about my penis on a podcast. That's so weird to me.
Well, we're here.
It's okay. He doesn't have to. I told them what the Pika was going to be.
Oh, so they knew I'm the only one that's jumping in here.
Because you jumped in.
And
you jumped in the middle.
And I'm flourishing. I thought it was going to be bad. And I'm like, penis here. So here's the thing.
Talk about your penis.
I don't know if Oscar is going to be comfortable talking about it. And I realize that we're not going to force him to talk about it.
We're going to force skin him.
Yeah, exactly. This is all our efforts not to continue to do puns in this whole episode.
Truly, this is the pun episode today.
I am circumcised, so I don't know. I don't know what life would have been with foreskin, but I do have friends that aren't. And for the most part, it's just a matter of good housekeeping from what
that's
I hear.
Exactly what I was going to say. That's literally what I say because
when it's not.
Yes, yes. And like, that's
funny. ¿De prepucio get sucio?
Yeah.
Yes.
Pues imagínate.
I can't.
Imagínate. Okay.
How graphic are we getting? Because I got.
Listen, Carlitos, come on. You know.
I know, but I don't want to make Oscar uncomfortable.
Why would you make me feel uncomfortable?
Just kidding. No, because I have some friends that are not necessarily, you know, and so like, which is like the same as with women. You have to, you know, it's. You have to put a little extra effort to keep it clean. Otherwise, because it's sheeted and the gland, as you read in the thing, is for the most part stays moist. It can create a somewhat of a thing. It looks like cheese. It looks like
like a little crusty.
Requesón. One of my good friends called it. He's from Spain. And he's like, yeah, requesón. And I just could not stop laughing, just thinking about the term requesón. Oh, so, yeah. So it's like, you know, it's just a matter of housekeeping. But I don't know. I can't speak to the experience. Okay. So that's why.
So, you know, we've all seen different types of penises, right? Mm-hmm. Even Carlitos, I'm sure you've seen somebody else's penis. Come on.
Yeah. My dad wasn't circumcised.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, do you guys, when did you know that you were circumcised? Because growing up, you don't know what that means, right? Like when you're little, right?
Yeah.
But right. It's funny because I saw this on an episode recently. I think it was on Working Moms. And she was like, the little kid, they're peeing. It's a black kid and a little white kid. And the white kid's like, his is different. And then the mom freaks out because she thinks he's saying because it's
black.
Because he's black. And she's like, and he's like, no, his has a hat on or some shit. And then she's like, oh, because the little kid is Jewish, the little white kid is Jewish, and then that's why, like, damn, honestly, that was
could another go wrong in so many ways.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I would have 12.
Yeah,
12 different ways. Yeah. Oh my god!
It was a really great scene. Like, it was a funny. It was a very well written scene. It was very funny. They did it with such class. That was nice. But anyways, point is that I wonder, like, when you guys figured out that your penis is different from some other people's penises.
You're asking us when we became penis self-aware.
Of that situation. Because like...
We became sentient.
But because like Jewish boys get circumcised when it's...
They're babies.
The baby, right? Is that the bat mitzvah? I don't really know, right?
Or no, that's the bris.
It's the bris.
Which is all...
Yes, exactly.
Shut up, Tony. Here's the thing. We don't have a lot of time left, so I'm going to tell you my personal story because it's important to share.
It's okay.
Okay. This doesn't happen often. For the most part, they usually get a circumcision when their babies are born, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually when it happens.
Yeah.
I wasn't like that. I didn't get circumcised until I was 5 years old because I got an infection.
In your penis when you were a baby?
Yeah, that's why I got it. No, in my head. Yes, of course. I had an infection when I was like 5 years old, so I was older. So there was a time I remember when I had it and when I didn't have it. So I was very aware.
So you had both.
I had both.
I'm so happy you jumped on this.
I'm what they call in the business divergent.
My goodness.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen to people. So, so especially when they're old, you know, not when they're babies. So I personally had to get it because I don't remember. I was five. That was my first operation. It was.
Oh my god.
I do remember like when it happened and after, you know, like the difference when it hurt at the beginning when I was it was all.
Oof.
Well, you shouldn't. I think I don't know if I. It's one of those things that you'd rather just like have a circumcised penis and then you've always had it.
Yeah.
And as a baby, you forget the pain.
Yeah.
And, 5 years old. So yeah, I had that experience, which is, I don't know how common it is, but it happened to me.
Wow. Do you think that Latine boys get circumcised more than?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Cause they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I had also kind of like realized within the conversations.
What I will say too, to add on to that, there is a weird, there's like a weird shame
Yeah.
That happens when you are circumcised, especially, I would say, like, especially in the past, I want to say, like, 5 to 10 years, because there's a movement, or I guess there's like a movement now where there's like, there are groups of people that are like reclaiming their foreskin, and then
they're getting operations to put a hoodie back.
Or even just like, I didn't have a choice in getting that circumcised.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of fury in that, and like keeping it, keeping it unnatural in a weird way, because like, besides like the hygienic stuff, there is no, besides the religious aspect of it, of course, if you're Jewish.
Yeah, I think that myth was, I think there was like a Mythbusters episode on that where they talked about it.
I'm sorry,
a
Mythbusters episode?
I'm sorry, Busters?
What? I don't know if it was a Mythbusters episode.
I don't think it was on Mythbusters, Carlos.
Maybe it was, you know what, Penn Jillette and Penn and Teller? I think they did an episode on something
you're
like that,
right,
where they talked.
Okay.
Maybe I'm mixing. Either way, it was busted
you saw it somewhere.
Yeah. that it's not necessarily, that it's more of like a conviction thing or a religious thing more than an actual safety.
Like a family choice, yeah.
And it, I mean, I've never had foreskin, or I don't have. There's a pleasure element too. There's a pleasure element too with having a foreskin on the dick. You were going to say that, Anaisa?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because if someone literally is like, just them having, like, even if it's just a hand job, like, and their hand is like on the dick and the foreskin, is, you know, you pull it down and that's like a different, like, sensation for that penis. Mm-hmm. That, like, you're right, Tony. Like, you don't have, it's the same thing like when you're fucking, because if it's going in another hole, the skin is naturally, like, you know, going in and out. So you feel it in a different type of way for sure. Also, there's a lot of people that, like in the op, like, so before what you were saying, Oscar, before the opposite was happening, where like all these adult men were getting shamed for having the foreskin because people were taught, like, there was a point where like it was like I said, like women were like, ew, that's gross. And it's like one, I don't like when people say that, because I think it's like, you're right, it's not this person's choice. That's, you know what I mean? Like,
that's like, interesting, so, right. Because that's interesting, because I would add to say that it depends on where you're from. Like, I know that
absolutely,
most commonly in Latin America, there people, I don't think people get circumcised. So I think the norm is people getting uncircumcised. So circumcised people sort of get made fun of for not having foreskin.
Have one less layer of pleasure.
Well, it's just like, why did that happen to you? Like, why did...
Well, you know what?
There's no pun there, Carlos.
When I hear, just wait. But when I hear Raisa talk about this thing, it just makes me think like, oh, you're basically talking about like mom jeans or whatever fat. Like, it feels like it's never going to end. It's always going to be an up and down.
Exactly.
Right? Did you just equate foreskin to mom jeans?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because I remember thinking, why would people wear those pants when I was younger? And I was like, those are so, and then they were back, and I was like, oh, then anything's possible. If mom jeans are back.
You saw me in the first SAP show with my high-waisted black.
Yeah. I mentioned this before. Nothing surprising. After, my life changed after mom jeans came back.
I mean, yeah, we know. That's the title of your memoir. So like another thing that was interesting is like, when I started reading up, like after like having that whatever, like I like looked up something, and like there was a lot of women that also were like, I like the foreskin because it's like I get, it's extra stuff to play with. I'm like, so I'm like, are you guys a fan of that, Tony and Oscar?
Yeah. Well, we don't have the.
It's not yours. It's someone else's.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
The girls don't have the penis at that moment.
I will sit this one.
Yeah. I'm like, do you feel like, because I'm asking because like I it's interesting to hear so many people have such an opinion on this. And that's why I was like, it's just, it's wild to me. I didn't know this was such a thing.
Oscar, go.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, Tony, do you have a preference? Do you care? Because again, women have told me, I've literally had girlfriends tell me, oh yeah, I hooked up with a guy. And then, and they're like, no. And I was like, Jesus, that was it? That was the one thing? God, I'm sure way more things were worse with him.
I'm what they call the bedroom divergent.
Gotcha. Great. Cool.
Wait, you need... Don't you need to be uncircumcised to do docking? To dock?
What is that a thing? Hell?
What is docking?
Wow. This is insane.
Wow.
What is that word?
Oh, wow. My God. Wow. I can't believe this is happening.
You're right what about that. Word?
You're right, Carlos.
Carlos, could you please care to explain what docking is to Risa?
Docking, if I'm not mistaken, is the when two penises have foreskin and they Chinese finger trap each other.
Is that a thing? Is that thing?
I don't know.
Wait, they
hold on.
Wait,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you hold on to it. I don't know sure about the mechanics. I
did. Carlos isn't doing a visual with his hands.
You gotta see that. You gotta see it.
It's
we
like,
need to record this.
Wait, that's how it works?
They're I don't like know. Eating I've each never listen. I did a Ray William Johnson episode on that one time, and that's the only reason I know about talking. But I don't know how the mechanics work, Tony.
Well, I've only seen it. I can't partake in this myself. I wish I could.
Well, no, I feel
but
like
I don't have the hood.
You could dock if one person, you know, is
right.
That's half a dock,
right? Oh, that's a partial
half dock. Yeah,
that but,
yeah.
sounds like so much work. Like,
yeah, it does.
Well, if you have like, the skin for it,
I mean,
yeah, more stuff to play with. More toys.
You said you were the one asking about more stuff to play with. Yeah. So there it is.
There it is. Right.
Oh my God, I'm so happy we did it.
I wonder if two people with foreskin can like tie them in like a knot or something.
Oh my God. Okay. If you had a baby, we recently talked about having kids.
It's a weird segue.
Wait, what?
If you had a baby, would you want them circumcised?
No.
No.
I would not.
No. I wouldn't.
I don't know. I have to think on it.
I know.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Wait, what's causing this?
Because I truly don't know. As of right now, because it's not truly happening anytime soon. I'm not like, I'm 50-50 on it. I feel like I need to think on it.
Mm. Yeah, me too. I feel like, you know, maybe we take a cafecito break.
You know what? I was going to say, el cortadito.
El cortadito, míralo, con leche evaporada.
What if you don't want your kid circumcised?
What if you don't?
Yeah,
that's the only thing offered at this coffee bar today. Cortado te va a la casa.
Para la pinga, literally. Okay, wait. So listeners, if you're listening to this episode and any of this is relatable or something you've talked about, like, let us know. Drop on the comments. Are you circumcised? Are you not? What team are you? Like, who's your squad?
What team are you?
What do you like more?
Or you could be on both teams, apparently.
Yeah. Team Prepucio.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Or team Prepucio, team docking.
Yeah. Are you, what do you prefer? What do you,
God.
What are your other docking tricks? I don't know.
Episode.
Shout out to the ladies that inspired me to have this as a pika because much needed. Me, Risa, I like all penises.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right back.
But only one right now. Only one. Only
no,
one
no, we cut one. Before. We cut.
No, that's it.
We got there. Sorry.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And slurpity, slurp, slurp, slurp. We are back from our cafecito break to introduce y'all our guest for today. What can we say about this beauty? Come
say
on!
It, say it! Say it!
You know her. You love her. You've seen her on The Weeknd
film. You've seen her on Home Economics on ABC. You've listened to her on the Best Friends podcast with Nicole Byer. It's Dashir Zameda!
Yes! Yes!
Dashir, what an absolute joy and a treat to have you here today. How are you, love?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Yeah, just ready for things to open up. I'm fully vaxxed. I'm ready to go outside. Also ready to go back inside. I was loving the solitude. I was really adjusting quite well to the new normal. And now I'm feeling those pressures to be like, come hang, come outside, do a thing. And now I'm like, oh, wait. I was happy.
Do you like, for me, I feel like the transition is so immediate that I'm like, okay, we went from 0 to 60 all of a sudden. I got all these outside plans now. How are you dealing with all of that like bombardment of, I'm sure you get a lot of people hitting you up being like, let's go out. Like, I know, how do you deal with that?
It's a little tired. I mean, well, I told you earlier, I just moved. So I'm still using the excuse of like, oh, well, gosh, lots of unpacking and oh boy, I don't
so
even
many
know where
books.
Yeah, where are any of my clothes? Oh boy, I couldn't possibly go outside.
I'd love to hang out, but I am naked.
I'm
right
fully
now.
Naked, and I won't be clothed until I unbox every single box.
You need to take a picture with like your bat, like with a bathrobe, like when you get out, like in different parts of your house, and be like, oh, this is all I can find.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so sorry.
And I'm still looking for my shoes.
So good. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. I'm like, I'm not going to lie. I think I'm a little bit like, I'm like there, but I'm a little bit over where I'm kind of like, I need to like go out and do things. Like I get like, I'm like one day I'll wake up and that's what I want to do like on a Saturday. But then like, it'll be another day. And I'm like, no, I want to stay home all day and put the AC on and close my door and lay with my cats all day long and do nothing.
Yeah. I want to transition. I want to ease into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And then around people who are like, I heard vaccinated people don't need masks anymore. And like, and just like fully out here without masks. And I'm like,
I get like 2 inches away from your face.
It's yes.
Like, woo. Okay.
And I was like, I mean, you might be right, but I still like, I just feel like for other people, just for comfort, we should still maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird to walk out in a mask and feel absolutely silly, especially because the CDC tells you, what are you doing, stupid? Take it off.
Yes.
Because you're fully vaxxed. But then you're walking outside and you're like, oh, literally no one else is wearing a mask. I feel so silly now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then if you take off a mask outside, then you feel even worse because you're like, I don't want to be seen as an issue or a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I mean, we're all going to be like so self-conscious, like at the first like legit event that we're at. I'm like, are you guys, can I, it's kind of like I saw someone and I was like, do I hug? Do I say hi? I don't know. Like, can I smack your butt? Like, how do we say hi right now? Like, it's like, well, I say that to them, like Oscar's laughing when I said smack
COVID
my butt.
Spreads, yeah, slapping the butt. Through the butt.
Yeah. Well, because I have friends where I'll be like, hey, what's up, my girl? Whatever. Like, I'll like, you know, give them a smack on their booty, whatever. That's just how like we show each other love. But again, I'm kind of like, I know this is like not going to get you sick and like we're vaxxed, but like, how are you feeling about the butt smacking now? I need to know. I need to know.
Yeah, as long as you're wearing gloves, I'm fine with it.
Oh, okay, gloves. Okay.
Yeah, just disinfect your hands before and after.
Exactly. And I want to see you.
All right. Disinfect
those hands.
Noted. Mm-hmm, noted.
Mm-hmm. Dashir, hold on 1 second, because this is something that I did not know about you. I've known you for a hot minute. And I did not know that you were born in Japan.
Yes. And I guess Nicole didn't either because she yells at me every time someone brings it up. And she's like, you kept this from me. And I'm like, I didn't. It just never came up in conversation. I didn't know I was supposed to just like volunteer this information whenever. But yes, I was born in Japan. My dad was in the Air Force. I was born on an Air Force base in Okinawa, Japan. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so did you like travel a lot because of the military background?
I was in Japan, Kentucky, Texas, Virginia, California, and then Indiana for like middle school and high school. But yeah, the younger years of my life were bouncing all over the place.
What part of Indiana? I used to stay there I have cousins that would go to Bloomington.
Bloomington?
Bloomington, uh-huh.
Yeah.
And Bloomfield
Damn,
does
those
too.
Cousins are sour right now.
They're oh, that's fine. I'm like, me, I was little. I didn't fucking know where I was going. I was like, I'm going to Indiana. Yeah. And then there was just white people everywhere.
Right, except
for my one, the one block that my half Cuban, half white family members lived on.
Yeah. I'm from Indianapolis.
Indianapolis. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The Circle City.
I'm about to say, yeah. Uh-huh. Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then I think I liked it when I was younger. And I feel like because I bounced around so much, I got used to leaving places. And so as an adult, it actually took me a minute to adjust to staying someplace for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just like pick up and leave.
So from Indiana, did you move to New York right after or?
No, I moved back to Virginia. I went to Charlottesville, Virginia for college.
Okay.
And then lived in Maryland for like 5 months with my stepmom and then moved to New York after that. And then was there for 9 years.
And was that the longest time you've been?
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely the longest place I've been. But although I did move a ton in the city, like I was... I don't know how many
Damn,
places I
didn't
moved
help
in.
But move to shit.
I know. Honestly, even still, I lived in an apartment for 1 year last year. I had a pandemic apartment.
Oh, wow. Okay, so speaking of moving, you just moved to
I
a
just
new,
moved
to a new
to
house.
To a new house. Yes.
And I heard from our friend Jordan here who was recording earlier that we have a very similar situation at one point. I had it last year in the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. You have a problem with bees and I had a problem with bees. So I'd love to hear what your deal is because maybe I can give you some
please.
Tips on my trauma because
oh my
I was
God.
Like, it was a mess.
Oh, please. I'll take any help I can get. It's been a thing. So there was a beehive
yeah.
in the house, like in a pipe in the wall of the house.
Not mm-hmm. inside the house.
Not inside the house. Thank God. They couldn't get in.
Okay.
But and it's like it's not even like it's like an archway. It's not even like an imperative part of the house. But it's just like annoying, and I don't want to be like I can't go to that side of the house because there's bees over there.
Yeah.
The bees own this part of the
they
house.
They just own. Yeah, they're like they're. It's a co-op situation. So we were like, well, we should move the bees. We don't want to kill the bees. We need the bees, but we just want to move the hive.
Yeah.
And so we found some like. You know, some company that had the word green in it, and they're like, "We're eco-friendly. We moved mm-hmm. the bees. We're gonna take it to a farm in Santa Clarita. They're gonna be happy little bees." And I was like, "Amazing! Love that." They sent maybe their son. I don't know. I think it's a family business, and it just like some kid came and some chucks and like just didn't care. And he got stung a lot, and also the bees were pissed and just like buzzing all over. One got in my hair. It was dramatic.
Oh my God. In your hair? Oh my God, no, me muero.
It got in my hair. I ran inside. Now it's inside. I'm trying to chase the bee down. It was like a full.
Oh my gosh.
And then they're like, the bees will probably leave in like a week. Week passes, no difference. Bees are still full on force. And so we keep calling, being like, hey, like, what does need to happen for the bees to go? I was like, are you sure you took the whole hive out? What's going on? They stopped answering our calls completely.
No.
I like had my man call from a different number. I was doing like the star 6-7. I was like, maybe
yes!
and they were not answering. And I was like, okay, I guess they're just not going to help us.
They ghosted you.
They ghosted
me. The bee people ghosted you. Oh,
yes.
No.
So and you still have bees all up earth.
Still had bees.
Oh,
and
my
so,
gosh.
I put a call out to my friends, because I was like, I have some, like, nature witch friends in my life. Maybe they can see, you know, talk to their circles and find someone.
Yeah.
They found someone, this woman. I looked at her Instagram, and she's like, so in tune with the bees. She's like dancing with the bees. They're like, you know, gracing her face. She's like, I love the bees. And I was like, this is who I need then. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I need a bee whisperer.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
So she came and was like too comfortable with the bees. Like she was like holding them in her hands. Like, look, see, this is an Africanized bee. And you can tell by the lines right here and this and that. And I was like,
oh, she was trying to teach you when you were like, no, I don't need
and
to
I was
listen.
Like,
right
you're like, believe.
Fuera.
I appreciate the education, but I'm never going to think about this again. I just need to leave. And then she like kept getting us to get near the hive and like, check out what I'm doing while she has like welts all over her face. And I'm like, if they're stinging you, they're not going to want me near them either. I'm not getting close.
Oh my gosh.
And so she took the hive out, which and she was like, it's good that you called me because the whole hive was not out. And even if these bees left, a new colony could start.
Yep.
So she removed everything, put some like caulking stuff up, did not patch up the hole because that was not in her job description. So she's like, this needs to be patched up or else they're going to come back. And I was like, okay. So I told my contractor, he looked at it and he's like, I would love to patch it. There's still bees there, which is correct.
Oh my God, Sasheer. What is this?
There are still bees there. Because of course they're like, this is my house, so I'm not going anywhere. Oh so they're like trying their hardest to like get around the caulk and get around all the stuff that like is in their way. And then I texted the woman. I was like, hey, bees are still here. My contractor doesn't want to patch up the hole. And she's like, well, he can just like brush them away with a broom. And I was like, no, he's not a bee guy. Yeah. Not everybody is comfortable with. She's like, just brush them away. And I'm like, you don't understand that people don't like bees. Like, you have to understand that. Think of it from our perspective. Yeah. We are not like friends with the bees. You are. And that's beautiful. But we don't have the same relationship with these bees.
Yeah.
And she kind of just like didn't really help. She was like, well, here's a spray you can spray. And then hopefully the bees will leave long enough for you to patch it up. And I was like, OK, so we ordered the spray. It took a week to get here. We sprayed. We doused the area. And it was non-toxic, but they just like don't like the smell and ideally would leave. Didn't leave at all. They're like, this is still our house.
Oh,
and so
my goodness.
Texted her a video and I was like, the bees are still here. I don't know what's going on. And then she kind of like flipped out on me and was my man read the text and was like, it doesn't seem like she's mad. It seems like she's defensive. But I was looking at the speed at which she was texting me and I was like, this is anger. Like she was like, you didn't do what I told you to do. Mm-hmm. You waited too long. I did the best I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like she took it personally. And I was like, I'm not talking about your work. I just want these bees to be gone. Yeah. And she was like, well, I offered you somebody who could patch up the hole and work around the bees. Chad, do you remember Chad? And I was like, you never said anything about a Chad. I would love for Chad to be here. Where is Chad now? Can Chad come now? And she's like, no, it's too late. No one can help. She said it's too late.
Chad is vaccinated and he already booked his trip to Mexico. He's out of here.
Unbelievable.
I was like, why can't Chad come back? And she's like, it's too late. No one can help. It's too far gone. She also was like, you should just demolish that part of the wall. And I was like,
okay, cool, yeah.
Okay, never mind. And I was like, are you done helping us? Or should I like go ask somebody else? And she's like, yeah, you should. I'm done. And I was like, okay, bye. And so that's the end of us working with this person, which sucks.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. So wait, what's the current
bee situation right now?
We still have bees.
Oh,
and
no,
I have a hole in the wall.
No.
Okay. I'm going to look up the place that I dealt with.
Please.
I will say the guy they sent. Okay. Well, I'm like, listen, this episode is not just about bees, but I have to give you a quick snippet of what happened to me.
Yeah.
So I'm actually sorry. It wasn't last year in the pandemic. It was like towards the end of like December. Cause I remember I was literally at my best friend's wedding in December having the bee situation. And then I came back right before the pandemic and thank God I got it all solved at some point. But anyways, I had like bees entering in my room, in my apartment. I live in the second floor. And I was like, what the fuck? Where are these bees coming from? So I tell my landlord, I'm like, oh, can you cut the trees? I keep feeling the trees hit my glass window. Maybe that's what, like the window, whatever. That's where they're coming from. The trees are too big. They're whatever. They cut them the fuck off. And still I have bees. And I'm like, how are they entering? Then I have cats. So my cats, I don't want them to get stung by a bee because I don't, I'm like, I was worried about that. And I would like I'd be around my house with like a fly swatter, whatever. Like, ah, coño, like yelling in Spanish, like, you fucking motherfuckers, me cago en ti, whatever, like a crazy person. And so finally they send someone after like, I have to send like this huge email. They send someone and this guy that looks like, honestly, he was on three different types of drugs. He shows up like missing teeth and like,
okay,
like all like, I'm just trying to give you a visual, like, so to be fair, you need to see this visual because this person also has to enter my home for him to go up, because he has to go up through the window, which is by my bed, so a whole thing. So he's like hanging half in my window and off like the like whatever, and he shows me videos, and there was a huge hive literally on the roof above. The same thing happened though. they took out the beehive and there was still bees for like 2 weeks. Yeah. And I was like, I was all nervous. And then they had to send the guy again. And he was the same thing. He was like, no, they're done. Well, I can't do anything else. You guys have. And I, it was like, we were just like, I was like, but I don't like, I'm not in charge. I have to deal with the property, my landlord. Oh, and thank God. Like, I don't think I ever got bit by a bee. If I did, who could say? I don't know. But I was like, I didn't know.
Yeah, you would definitely know.
I'm like, maybe I fall asleep really hard. Like, I smoke a lot of indica.
But a bee sting, I mean, it's not a subtle thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You would feel it. It'd okay. be like, owie.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I, as someone who's been stung by bees many times.
Not, mm-hmm. Yeah, not me yeah, so they're... far. I'm like, knock on wood. But yeah, I'm like, I feel you so hard on the bee situation, I guess is my point. Because sometimes I'd be going to sleep, and I'm not going to lie, I'd be like high as fuck, and I'd just be laying there, and I'm like, and I would hear a bzzz, and I was like, oh my God, it's coming for me. I don't know what to do. And I'm under my bed. Should I just go under the blanket? Like if it was a ghost. Oh, not that ghost.
I'm a little traumatized by that sound, honestly. Because like if I hear like bzzz, I'm like, where is
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah.
And then there's like flies that also sound like bees. And I'm like, why? Why did you choose to sound like that? Maybe it's defense mechanism for themselves, but I'm just like, now I'm on high alert and you're just a fly.
Yeah, because flies buzz as well. So now you're like, not just like hitting on the bees, you're hitting on all insects because they be buzzing insects, everywhere. True.
They all gotta go.
All of them. They all gotta go.
But listen, if any listeners out there are bee people, hit us up.
Yeah.
So honestly, we can recommend a place for Ryzen's and
all the help I can get. I don't want any more inept or insane people coming to my house, doing half of a job and leaving me stranded.
Okay, listen, I'm like, I know I want to switch from bee talk, but I do have to say there is one. This is my celebrity hair crush. She's like the founder of Jisoo. I don't know if you know her. Her name is Nagin Mirasalehi. And she is like this like drop dead gorgeous, like influencer model. I think she was a model or something. I don't know. But she like started this hair and she has beautiful hair. I've talked about her like a bunch of times. I'm just like, I have such a crush on her and her hair, and her whole like IG is so beautiful and wholesome. She's a beekeeper now too. She added beekeeper to her Instagram profile because I just went to check if she had done that. And so like she'll like post these videos. So again, like the guy that comes to my house looked like he could have like, I don't even know. Like I wanted to like feed him. And then like this woman is here like in heels and like just like holding bees looking like a like star. And I'm like, there's different types of bee people out there. I think there's all types.
It does seem like there's a subset of like cute bee girls.
Yes.
Specifically,
yes, that's why.
Specifically that.
Yes.
Cute bee girls.
I'm telling you. Yeah, she's always up on it. And I was watching her video and then I was like, girl, what are you doing? You're going to get stung. What about if it stings your face?
Did she get rid of your bees, Rye?
They ended up getting rid of them. So as of now, I don't have it, but I'm not going to lie. There are times that like I get a little triggered when I do hear a buzz as well, when I'm in my room laying by the window, because my bed like is like against the wall where the window is. So like that was the thing, too. So like I can't see if they're coming at me. I don't know. It's a whole movie in my head.
Oh my God.
You just never know. You just never know.
But speaking of buzzing, I'm like you're trying to transition out of the buzz. You are on a super fun show called Home Economics.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I'd love to, can you let us know how, you got cast? It was a process and, how it's been working during a fucking pandemic.
It's kind of crazy. We were supposed to shoot it last March. So I would the job was supposed to happen last year, obviously could not. And then we just didn't know what was going to happen. Everything got pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. And then like September, we were like, they were like, okay, you get to shoot the pilot. And we're like, oh, okay, great. It is interesting working during the pandemic because like everyone's on high alert. They had a whole COVID team, like a whole group of people. It was just their job to make sure everyone's 6 feet apart. There was a woman with a ruler that was like, come in between you and be like, leave room for Jesus. Like,
yeah,
leave room for COVID. Middle school dance.
Yeah, they're hardcore because we've all been on set a couple of times as well. And like, they're hardcore. Yeah. We've been talking about it. I'm like, they don't fuck around.
Yeah, which I do appreciate. But there are times where I'm like, can I just eat my sandwich and talk to my friend
and smack your butt? Gosh,
like that's a different person.
That's a different person. I'm in trouble. Yeah,
that's HR. Is like, you can't be smacking people's butt.
Everybody, all my best friends on set, they're like, Risa keeps smacking her butt, but it's fine. But also, like, she does that.
yeah, but it was nice. And like, I like everybody. And it's just really nice to be a part of a group of people that like everyone's nice and funny and they bring their own energy to the table and we gel really well. And I feel like you can see that on screen as well. And yeah. We also just found out we got picked up for a second season, which is amazing.
Yes. Yes.
And for people that haven't watched it, what can you tell them? Like what, like give them, can you give them like that little like blurb or whatever?
Little spiel.
Yeah.
Home Economics is a family comedy on ABC and it's about money and the relationships that are affected by money. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really interesting way to show this topic because you're seeing multiple families in a family and you have people who are on the broke side. You have people who are very, very, very rich. You have people in the middle class and how that affects everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, you know, you have lots of shows with like different types of people in the family, but no one's talking about money and money comes up. It can come up a lot and it can be awkward. It can be like, yeah. You know, how do you ask your brother for a loan? How do you know when you're going on vacation? Some people can pay for the ticket, some people cannot. Like that shit comes up all the time. So I think it's cool to be in a show that is the focus of it. And other stories are happening at the same time. But I like that we are really digging into that awkwardness.
Oh, I love that.
And also, can you tell us a little bit about the character that you play on the show?
Yeah.
She's rad.
Yeah. Thank you.
We love her.
I play Denise. I'm married into the family. So the Hayworth family, the main people are the three siblings. And I'm married to Sarah, the sister of the two brothers. Mm-hmm. And we are the starving artist, bleeding heart couple. And, you know, we have like coexist on our car, our bumper sticker.
Relatable.
Yeah, I'm like, that's such a specific like detail to like say. In the script.
And they have a coexist. Okay, great. Oh, we know exactly.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. It's really funny to see like, you know, all the specifics the writers give us because we're just like just the crunchiest granola people, you know, eating tofurkey. Like we're trying. We're just trying so hard. But I love it. And also, it's like not that different from me. Like my character is very like into the stars and astrology and energy and chakras. And so am I. It honestly wasn't much of a stretch for me. But yeah, she's kind of the grounding unit of the family where people get very volatile and reactive quickly. I'm the one who's kind of bringing people down to life.
Yeah, you're like the voice of reason.
Oh, I love
that. And you know, such fun. Love her so much.
Thank you.
But Sashir, can you tell us like the beginnings of your like interest in comedy? Like where did that stem from? Have you always wanted to be a comedian?
I think I did, but I didn't know it. Like I was a huge fan of Mad TV and Whose Line Is It Anyway and SNL and Conan O'Brien. I watched so much comedy when I was younger, but I had no idea how those people got to do what they did. So I didn't really think like that's a job to do. And one time I was in high school, I did like a government camp. Like we learned about the government structure and we all ran for office and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Wait, is this like a summer camp or
it
like
was a summer camp? Yeah.
What?
That's like the kind like camps that you see like written in a TV show that like I've never heard of, but I'm like, is that real? Like, is there really a debate? Because I watch a show there and they're like debate camp. And I was like, is that a thing? I would love to debate people for a whole summer.
Yeah. Like,
can I sign up? But yes, yeah, sorry, go on. Very cool.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. I think we actually went to Bloomington to the campus there and took over. And it was all girls. It was awesome. And we ran for office. I ran for lieutenant governor and we had like write our own speeches, like have our own platform and stuff. And I remember writing a speech and I like put a joke at the top. There was like, we were staying in these dorms and there was a rickety elevator in one of them. And I was like, you better vote for me before you die in this elevator or something like that. And everyone lost it. Like people were on the floor dying. And I didn't write any other jokes, but people just kept laughing at what I was saying. I guess it was the cadence or something. And afterwards, people were like, you should do something where you like talk in front of people and make them laugh. But like no one knew like stand up, like no one knew of that to be a thing. They're just like, you should do something where you make people laugh and they're enjoying you. All right, good luck. And I was like, yeah, I should. And didn't think about it again until like after college. But yeah, I was always a fan of comedy. It really wasn't until I got to New York, really, when I thought like I could do this. I could actually pursue this. And I did. And I'm so glad I did.
That is so wild. I mean, you literally were on one of the places that you mentioned. You were on SNL, which is like, you know, that's like, it's one of the hardest things to get on. Like, let's be real, especially as comedians, it's very hard. And, you know, that's so cool to be like, yep, I checked that off my list. So fuck
it
is like,
very cool. Yeah.
But I'm going to say, even before SNL though, so I'm going to tell you something about Sasheer. I know Sasheer because Sasheer with Nicole Byer and Keisha Zoller.
Oh, yes.
Created one of the most influential improv teams to ever exist. And I think that was so important because you developed that group at a time where we didn't see a lot of diversity in improv spaces at all. Like, I didn't think that like improv was even allowed for like an all POC team. Are you kidding me? Yeah. All Black women? You know what I mean? And then Doppelganger showed up and y'all really flipped the script. And, you know, I've been a fan of y'all since like jump, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your experiences with Doppelganger and just like taking over UCB in New York and just like really, you really redefined comedy for BIPOC people in New York City.
This makes my heart feel good.
Girl, I've been telling you this since day one.
I know.
This year.
It's just nice to hear it, though.
I'm so sad I never got to watch you guys in New York.
Oh, my God.
That was transcendent. That was a great era.
I know. I've seen you guys in LA, but I'm
We, me, Keisha Zoller, Nicole Byer, we were all friends already. And so we created a team. And also out of like, we didn't get on the house teams. We auditioned. Didn't make it. And we're like, well, we're just gonna do our own shows and like be independent. Mm-hmm. And we called ourselves Doppelganger because people literally confused us for each other, which doesn't make any sense because we are all so different.
I cannot with you
wild.
Telling me this.
Wild,
I cannot.
But honestly, true.
Listen, I get it. I was not to interrupt the story, but I was congratulated getting on a Herald team when my friend Nina Concepcion got on it. Me and Nina, both lovely Latinas, but very different.
Very different.
Like, literally.
I mean, me, when I was starting in LA, I would get confused with Manu Agapian on
all
a daily
the time.
Basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was so rude. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, so we can all relate is what we're
you
trying
get
to
it.
Let you know.
You get it.
At multiple levels.
So we're like, we'll turn it on its head. We'll call each other Doppelganger.
I like that.
And so we were just performing around the city, and there's a competition improv show called Cage Match where anyone can sign up and you perform against whoever has been winning. So if you win that round, you go on week after week after week. And so we were beating house teams. We were beating our teachers. And there was like a funny moment where like I had a teacher that we like went up against, and I actually accidentally didn't go to the next class, but it probably looked like I was like big time.
I was like, you're flexing.
Like past this, bye.
Yeah, I don't need your class. I beat you on stage. But we like had a tear for the summer, and it was so fun. And it was so nice. And then Anthony King was the artistic director at that time, and he asked us to. This was a new process. There was no way to like get like say this independent team now performs here regularly. So we had to like audition for a slot, which is a spank. So we had to spank our improv show, which didn't really happen. And then Anthony gave us a time slot, and we were performing with Two Man Movie for a minute. We just had a lot of different spots. And then eventually we had our own night at UCB East, which was very, very fun. That was like not really a thing that was happening at the time where you could just like be so good that you are now a house team. You know, usually it's like you're on a house team for years and then you and your friends ask the AD, can we start a show or something like that? But yeah, I was super proud of us and that time because It felt like we didn't have to wait for anyone to say yes to what we were doing. I was so tired of waiting for a yes and waiting for someone to be like, yeah, you can, you're allowed to perform here. You did enough of the things, you paid enough money, you did enough of the classes to do this thing. Like, we just were good and people wanted to see more of us. So they couldn't deny it.
And three Black women, which is like just women in general, again, like starting off, and I started like way later. And I was like, there's no girls, there's no brown girls, there's no Black girls. And I'm like, nobody sounds like me. And it's like so beautiful now, though. Like, we are 2021. Sure, like, we're not performing right now, but like before the pandemic, it was like I was coaching like an all Spanish Latinx team. And I'm like, it's wild to think now, like, how you had to like fucking do a space, like, where you guys are so funny. And it's just like, people need to continue to be like placed, like, they should have just put you guys on, like, no audition, put you on. But it's a different time. And I get that. Yeah.
I love it. I think it's beautiful. I mean, there's always room to grow, but I think it's so wonderful how much more diversity we're getting. Even like in the staff, like seeing more color in the teachers. That's a huge component as to who we're going to see on stage. Because if we only have white men choosing who's gonna be on stage, they're gonna choose more of the same, because that's what they're used to.
But
I think that's important. I mean, you said it earlier, Sashir, it's like the visibility is such a big thing, because like, you don't think to ask, you're always asking permission, but it's like, as POC, we're constantly being like, oh, can we exist in these white spaces? Is that okay? And like, for Doppelganger to exist, it's like, it doesn't fucking, we're not asking any of y'all permission. We're doing it. We are existing. Yeah. And then other people see that, and then they're like, oh, so I can exist too in these spaces. And that's when we see the change happening. So just not asking for permission to exist and just demanding, demanding those spaces.
Demanding. Well,
and here's the thing, you know, it's like, not, you know, not for nothing, but like, that's what Spanish IQ Presents had to do. At UC, UCB in LA, you know what I mean? Like, we stopped asking, right?
I had to get cut from a Herald team.
Yeah, but I think it's important to have that visibility. You know what I mean?
Like,
and thank you, Sashir. For me anyway, just like watching y'all perform, it was like, really, you know, like, you were just having fun and doing the stuff. But like, for me, it felt like such a radical political act to just see y'all celebrate each other on stage, and having like three friends just like try to make each other break. Like, that to me is so, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, the politics is out the window, like, whatever, but like, your existence on stage was so political.
And also, it's very like, to like piggyback what Oscar's saying, like, it is such a groundbreaking thing to also, again, see three Black women doing improv and them being able to say and do things that like ain't nobody else could fucking go on that stage and say and do, because if they do that is bad and bye bye. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, what a luxury. We were able to like do Black church scenes, or like do like barbecue cookout. You know, we were able to do stuff that made sense to us. And, you know, hopefully there's people in the audience who understand and can relate, or people just think it's funny because funny is funny, no matter, you know, every culture has something that's funny specifically to their culture. But I remember watching a show with Nicole, and like, I think it was a Herald night, and she was like, how many Star Wars jokes am I going to see? Like, she's like, she's like, I refuse to watch it, which is funny because she also just did a podcast about it.
I know. But I'm the same about that shit. Like, Harry Potter, Star Wars, or all these things. I was all like, well, like, can we talk about, like, I don't know, basketball or something? Or like something that, like, I know. Yeah. And then I was the weirdo, like, name dropping a basketball player that's literally current, but nobody knew but me or whatever that is. So I'm like, which, I mean, basketball is not just obviously not like Latinx, but still, like, in my brain, like, I very much relate to that comment of the Star Wars.
Well,
like,
just need varying perspectives in general. We don't need, I mean, like, we're all nerdy in some way. That's why we're here. But like, we don't need the same kind of nerd doing the same kind of joke over and over and over and over and over again. It's like, it gets alienating and exhausting. Like, why not? Everyone should want multiple perspectives so that we have so much more material to pull from.
Of course. Of course. I love that. Yes.
Before we go, I'm like, we talked so much about bees, but I want to make sure that
that
the bee episode.
Yeah.
Guys, you asked for the bee episode. We brought you the bee episode. La abeja en la casa. One thing I wanted to make sure before we go is that you can let us know really quick about two things. The new Michelle Buteau weekend getaway in.
Yes, I'm in Michelle Buteau's show on Discovery Plus called Weekend Getaway. That was actually one of the last trips I took before the pandemic. We went to New Orleans and it was so fun. I love New Orleans regardless. Like, I've been there so many times. It's so magical, so beautiful, so musical. It's just like the best. And so we went there. We were in a second line band, like going down the street. It was raining. It was beautiful. Like, we ate great food. It was just so nice. And then we couldn't travel anymore. So I'm really, really, really glad we were able to do that.
Last trip before the pandemic.
It was a really nice trip.
Pay me, put me on a show. I get to be with Michelle. She's like,
Michelle is incredible.
I love Michelle so much. We've been friends for a very, very long time. And was a dream to be able to just hang with her. And you know, we happen to have cameras, but just like, it was very real and fun. And I hope people like it. But yeah, it's on Disney Plus. That's coming out in June. Best Friends podcast with Nicole, my actual best friend. We've been best friends since 2009. It comes out every Wednesday on Earwolf or wherever you get your podcast from. And what else is going on?
Why don't you hit us with your social media?
Yeah, give us those socials.
Oh, yes. Yes. My socials.
Because you don't follow anybody on Instagram. Is that a bit? I'm like, I don't know.
I just would rather not. Yeah. I just want to trim all the bullshit out of my feed. And also, it's like now just a rule. Like, I can't follow you. So people are like, follow for follow, or like, can you follow? And I'm like, I wish I could, but I just don't.
Yeah.
Don't follow.
I respect it. Bad Bunny doesn't either. You're at Bad Bunny level. And that is for me.
I'm just trying to get on that level.
I'm like, that's my boy.
But Instagram and Twitter is at the sheer truth. Sheer Truth. And yeah, as the world opens up, more stand-up will be happening. So hopefully I'll be seeing you soon.
Yeah.
Hell yes. We love that. Yes, guys, make sure you follow Sashir. And so you can be up to date with all the things and watch the Michelle Buteau Weekend Getaway as well with her and listen to the podcast. You can also follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG and at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. You can follow Carlos at, of course, it's Carlos. And you can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can follow me at Ozimo on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow Tony at BuzzBuzz on Twitter. Just kidding. It's the Tony Rodriguez on Twitter and Instagram. Sorry.
I'm triggered.
I know. I was like, where? Oh my gosh. We love
Sashir,
you.
Thank you so much for your guest today. This was so much fun. Thank you for taking the time. Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. And we'll make sure we forward you all the bee tips.
Please do.
But hopefully by the time this episode comes out, these bees.
Yes, we'll be gone.
Fuera de la casa, pero de verdad.
It'd be a huge problem if they were still there.
Dale.
Spanish Aquí Presents is an Earwolf production executive produced by me, Raisa, Tony, Carlos, and Oscar. It's engineered by Jordan Duffy and produced by Anita Flores.
You can follow us on social media on Instagram at Spanish Aquí Presents and Spanish Aquí on Twitter.
Find our latest merch at potswag.com and especially look out for the Spanish Aquí Presents enamel pin set featuring all of our beautiful faces.
Yeah, and help us get the word out by telling a friend about the show today.
Make sure to rate and review Spanish Aquí Presents and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen.
Want more Spanish Aquí Presents? Find our full archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code SAP for a one-month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.